Greetings, sisters. Hey, it's Sister Amun and Brother Tupos here from DontPerish.com.
Hello, sisters.
Hey, we got a really good topic for you today.
I think it's a good one.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Judging feminism rightly. And so I was going to start this out and read Matthew 7:2, and it says, "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye met, it shall be measured unto you again." So as we go through Brother Tupos and I talking about this topic, we want to make sure that we are rightly discerning what we're talking about here and measuring it to the scriptures and not maybe like man-made traditions and stuff that we're going to be talking about in here. And I wanted to clarify what feminism is. It would be pretty much summed up as a woman usurping the authority and role beyond what God has given her.
Amen. And a good example of that would be Eve in the garden.
Right. Yeah. Remember Eve. You know, like the Bible says, remember Lot's wife for looking back. Let's us sisters remember Eve.
Yeah, and Adam, men remember, or us men should remember, that Adam hearkened to his wife in a sinful manner.
Yeah, right. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so I guess I'll just start this out. Some of us sisters were talking because a sister shared that she received a wedding invitation, and she noted that the woman's name was written before the man. And we see that oftentimes. And I'll admit, I used to think that was feminism to do that, because it looks like, it doesn't seem like it lines up with the Bible, with God's headship order, but we need to really test and discern this to see if it is feminism or if it's just from a man-made mindset. So I just wanted to share with you, you know, I'm 54, Brother Tupos is older than I am.
60.
Yeah, and I know sisters who are older than me, and so maybe from our generation, maybe you younger generation might not have seen this quite as much as we have. But, you know, in the years past, say somebody was going to send me a letter, just to me. And in the years past, it was considered, like, proper to address it to Mr. and Mrs. James Palahniuk, even if it was just to me. And then over time, it changed to Mr. and Mrs. James and Deb Palahniuk. Right. And then it was like Mrs. Deb Palahniuk, he got dropped off. And then the Mrs. part got dropped off, and it's Deb Palahniuk. And now today we might see the name before the man, you know, Deb and James Palahniuk.
Right.
And so that might happen on like bank statements or vehicle registrations, random mail.
Checks.
Checks. Or like we just saw with the wedding invitation.
Right.
And so some of us sisters were talking about it. And like I said, I'll admit, I used to think that was like a form of feminism. But if we start digging in and testing all things, where did that really come from?
Yeah.
You know, like it, like a man-made mindset. You know,
yeah, do the names altered really mean that there's feminism at the home or at the root? It's really the question. So make sure that we're judging rightly on these things.
Right. Example.
Yeah, and I guess I would give you some examples. If we were to say, well, the man's name should always be first, otherwise it's feminism and the woman's usurping authority. Well, the Holy Spirit and Brother Paul didn't get that memo, as I always say. Because let me give you some verses. Acts 18:18. Paul says, after this, I'm not going to read all these, but he says, "Then I took this leave of the brethren and sailed thence to into Syria with him, Priscilla and Aquila." He mentions Priscilla first.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you would think, hey, wait a minute. Then in Acts 18:26, Paul says, "Whom when Aquila and Priscilla heard them," he mentions Aquila first. Uh-huh. Priscilla's the wife, Aquila's the husband. They were a husband and wife team. Then in Romans 16:3, he says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila." So Paul's going back and forth between man and woman. In 1 Corinthians 16:19, he says, "The body, the ecclesia of Asia, salutes you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you also." And then in 2 Timothy 4:19, he says, "Salute Priscilla and Aquila." So Holy Spirit inspired Paul did not see it as feminism to put the woman's name ahead or the man's name ahead. It seems inconsequential, as they would say. The order of feminism has to be under God's headship. God, Christ, man, woman. That really has nothing to do with where their name is placed. It has to do with where the authority is being kept and where everybody's respecting their boundaries.
Right, and where she puts herself.
Yep.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe we could go on to another example. Like this one, I'll admit, this was me as well in my flesh thinking it might be like feminism was driving cars. And I want to say,
because we're van dwellers, this comes up a lot. We drive a lot.
Right, exactly. And prior to being in Christ and being a new creation, I used to love driving, and it was kind of like a form of power because of, you know, all the speed that you could do and you're in charge of it. And so when I became born again, I started looking at it and I was like, hey, wait a minute, I feel like I'm taking the power. You know, when I would drive Brother Tupos around, it, you know, we'd go someplace, we might take turns driving or something. And then so I kind of pretty much backed all the way off of the driving, and I would look around and go, it just seemed like feminism to me. But you know what? It's not necessarily a right judgment on feminism, because think about this. You know, I don't want to be sitting there looking at a woman driving a man going, wow, look at that's feminism, because maybe he can't drive.
Maybe he's got bad vision. Maybe he wasn't feeling good that day. Maybe she said, I need, like we talk with you, you need to drive once in a while to keep your skills brushed up in case I die, so you'll still be able to drive. So,
yeah, maybe he hates driving, yeah, and he just wants her to do it. It's just a vehicle. And
it has a lot to do with judging rightly. Like when I always tell people, when they see me out working with homeless people because I dress plain and I wear a tunic, people think I'm homeless. I'm clean, but they look at me and I don't look like the culture. They think I'm homeless. Make sure you judge rightly in all these things like feminism.
Right, and we have to test it to Scripture, because the Scripture doesn't speak on that.
No, Paul just put Priscilla ahead of Aquila, Aquila ahead of Priscilla.
Right, so if you see, and this is a mindset I had to change within myself, probably because of my past and who I was, and now there's that equal balance in there. It's just driving a vehicle.
Yeah, it's driving a vehicle. And if I could go back to the name quickly, this just came to me. If someone said, oh, Sister Amen and Brother Tupos are traveling, a couple that travel and do evangelism work, I have no problem if someone puts your name ahead of mine. And the reason I don't have a problem is because I know you and I both respect God's headship order. You're my helpmate. I love you like Christ loved the body. And it's a perfect balance. Where the name is placed is absolutely meaningless.
Right. And it comes down to the matter of the heart of the person who's actually doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the driving thing.
Yep,
Heart is a willing vessel for the Lord. I follow under the headship order. Just because I'm driving the car doesn't mean I'm taking power and control over a man.
You got another example?
Well, actually, I do, possibly, depending on what you have. I think you have
one. Well, I have
one.
An example. How about this one? I just have to help a brother with a young family, child discipline. How many times, if you're in Walmart or some store, and you would see a mom and a dad, and you might, maybe they look like they might be biblical people, I'm not talking about worldly people here, and you see mom disciplining the children, your first thought could be, wow, she rules the house.
You know what? I'll admit, I've had those before, and I had to check my heart and make sure I judged that rightly.
And here's where that could be wrong. The man may be the total leader of his house, and I just instructed a young brother, make sure that your wife, the mother, make sure the mom knows how to bring the rod of correction when you're not home. Otherwise, they won't respect her.
Right.
And I said, so she needs to be able to do discipline as well as you. Can't always be on you. And the man might look to his wife and say, you know what? When we're out in public, you feel free to do the discipline. So they see dad backs up mom. Mom's got authority.
Right.
I better respect and obey both of them. So that's another one where I've seen that before. And I thought, wonder who rules that roost. We better be careful.
Oh, yeah.
We make righteous judgment.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to discern it rightly, and that would go along with, well, I guess I do have one more before I had a scripture verse to use for testing, but like women working.
Yeah, that's a great one.
That is a big one, because people will see, well, how come she's not at her home? You know, you don't know, do they live in an apartment, and she can't have a garden, she can't have all this other stuff. She gets it done, they have no children, they have, you know, nobody to look after, and there's no reason she can't, you know, if she's married.
Can I speak in this real quick?
Yeah.
Women working, absolutely not sinful if she doesn't have small children to take care of. Absolutely would not be proper if a woman has small children and they're in daycare while she's out working. The husband should labor to get that wife at home and raise those children at home.
Right.
That's absolutely a given. But if she's got her children are gone or they have no children and she works a good, pure, and true job, she's not alone with a lot of men. Same thing with the man. He shouldn't be working a job where he's alone with women. And the job is good, pure, and true. There's absolutely nothing wrong with a woman working in her home or outside of her home, but working for the home. If they were to labor together and the husband, she wouldn't be saying to her husband, I want a career no matter what. And that'd be different.
Yeah.
But if she says, I'm willing to work a job in a restaurant or some store and do something good, pure, and true. Yeah.
Right. Because if you look at Proverbs 31... verses 16 and verses 24, she considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hand she plants a vineyard.
Yeah.
I know it says with the fruit of her hands, but a lot of times the vineyards were pretty big. There might have been other people working with it.
Yep.
You know, so, and it doesn't mean it was out her back door. It could have been somewhere else, so she had to leave the house to go
Absolutely.
Do it. Possibly.
Absolutely.
And then she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. So she's out dealing business, if you want to call it today, business transactions, dealing with other people,
we have
the
to
merchants
be careful.
And stuff.
And
so.
I want to bring a point up here. I teach brothers all the time, watch out for ditches. The truth is in the middle of the narrow road, and religion and faith life and the culture is in all kinds of ditches. Watch out for this ditch. Ready? The one ditch is on the side where total rabid feminism goes on and women are ruling and leading and usurping, and that's wrong. And maybe that's why we judge these things wrong, because we see that gross...
That was me.
Yeah, we see that gross feminism and we judge it wrongly. But what's the other ditch?
The ditch I went into
the
when
other
I
ditch
became
is,
born again.
And we see ministries where they say, women have no ministry, women have no voice, women can't do anything, women should... The old mindset, that barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. That's the mindset of many ministries and even men. We had a man not long ago email us and say, you can't have a ministry, you can't have a voice, you can't say nothing
meaning
about the
me.
Truth of God. Meaning my wife, Sister Amen. And so watch out for those two ditches. Make sure you're judging rightly in the middle of the road. Women do have a ministry. As long as they're not usurping authority, teaching men, rebuking men, God used women mightily. A woman was the first one to proclaim that Christ was risen.
Right. And I did a teaching on the prophetesses in the Old Testament.
That's a good one to go listen
and
to.
And some of them in the New and how it went on. You brought up ministry. That's a really good point, because I've thought about this too. See, these mindsets from coming from who we used to be, like Brother Tupos was saying, and I said, I was a raging feminist.
Yep.
So when I came to be with the Lord, when I was born again, I went in the other ditch and I shut up. I was totally quiet. I totally misread a lot of it. I did have some of these mindsets in my mind when I would look at other people. Now, over the years, as I mature, we see the middle of the road and the ministry thing.
Yeah.
I thought about this. When we're out on the streets, Brother Tupos is preaching, and then sometimes I'll walk around the perimeter where he's at. I can hear him. We can see each other. But yet,
you're handing out gospel cards.
Right. And I'm talking to people, and I might be saying the same things he is to a point. Mm-hmm. I'm not lifting my voice up, but I do a little bit
people can hear me. I open air street preach, and I might seem a little harder, a little bolder, but then Sister Amen walks around with gospel cards, and they see me preaching, and she says, gospel good news. Do you know how to find eternal life? And she actually makes contact with a lot of people that way.
Right. And so my point is, like, say somebody else walks by and they go, how come she's not standing by him and letting him do all the talking? Is she usurping his authority by, you know, moving out further away?
Yeah.
You know, so it just kind
Wrong
of popped
judgments.
In my mind about that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wrong judgments.
And we could have these man-made traditions, man-made mindsets in our
Here's
mind that don't line up.
Here's a homework assignment for you. Go look up in the book of, I believe it's Acts. I believe it is, but look it up. Where Paul says, Priscilla and Aquila explained together the way to Apollos. Doesn't say Aquila did it alone.
Yeah, that's it.
They together, Aquila was just learning. You can't deny that. You can't hide it. They together explained. Now, I'm sure Aquila took the lead. I'm sure he was under full authority. But women have a voice. We do. It is a fine line. We got to be careful.
Right.
Sister Amen has to be careful. Often she can't rebuke men. If she knows a man's a Christian, she can't go and start teaching him. She doesn't teach men, period. But she can say some things and then say, my husband, he's talking to men there. He'll like to talk to you in a minute. And she kind of sets them up for me to go talk to them. So, again, watch out for these judgments about feminism.
I just thought of another
ministry.
One. Like if sisters get together and they're talking and they're sharing about God's word and going into the deepness of
and how it affects
topics
women.
Of women. Yeah, in fact, some of us sisters had to talk about that.
Right.
And there could be people, if they hear that, they're like, hey, why are they doing that? And they're teaching, but they're not rightly dividing it.
They're
it's not
teaching
feminism.
Doctrine. They're applying God's word to each other's life to teach women how to walk and be a godly woman. And the Bible says the women are supposed to teach other women how to love their husbands and how to walk. Obviously, it also would be how to walk as a godly person.
Right. Yeah, so we need to learn how to.
And it's done under the supervision of men.
Oh, right.
Yep, men see and know what's going on,
And it's all the matter of the heart of the woman and not basing how we do what we do against our mindsets, how we were raised, you know, what the
Test
culture says. That's where I'm going right now. I got it right here.
I didn't even know that, but we always say it.
Yeah, I love that. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And I want to say prove means to test or discern. So yep. We sisters, as we go through this life, and I love this because the sisters bring up these different topics, and then all of a sudden one will be like, hey, wait a minute, is that right? Did we get that from our how we were raised and
culture.
Trained? Or does that line up with scripture? We got to be very careful that we're not going to stumble somebody or stumble ourselves with these mindsets.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. Yeah,
anyway,
so,
there's probably a lot of other ones that could be thought up if you think of them.
Yeah, so look and discern with eyes open to the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and make sure whether it's feminism or women doing ministry or anything you see around you, make sure you're judging rightly and not judging by your own preconceived notions. But judging rightly by the Word of God.
Yeah, and I forgot to look it up. There's a scripture verse out there about a fool who speaks of something if he doesn't know it.
Yeah, it's in Proverbs.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to be very careful.
The fool speaks before he knows.
Yep.
So we have to be careful.
I know in my youth I've spoken of some things, you know, kind of made comments and stuff about these particular topics like this, and I didn't really realize that until you grow and mature and discern and test.
Yep, and growing, maturing, and that's where the body. We had to grow and mature with nobody helping us in the beginning. We didn't know any true saints. But when you have a body of believers, trust me, you can grow and mature quicker because more people bring more to the table, more experience, and it just helps. And that's what Ephesians 4 says, the purpose of the body is the edification of saints for the training up for ministry. Mm-hmm. And so that means your life pouring forth truth and judging rightly and all these things.
Yeah, and I'm thankful for all the sisters I know because we all get to test and examine each other and help keep us in alignment with God's Word. And
everybody sees different things and experiences different things, and you can bring it together and it fully forms us.
It's amazing. It's like the one body with the hand, eye, the foot, you know, everybody doing the workings that the Lord has for them.
Amen.
So, yeah, well, that was awesome.
That was a good topic, and that you can find many other topics like that and many aspects of this topic as well to ponder, think, and test on.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. I love digging deep into all this stuff because it helps other people. It helps shed the flesh and get rid of a lot of the worldly mindsets that you might have stuck buried way back in behind you.
Yeah, and the brothers and I were just talking, and I read a verse where it talked about having the same mind of Christ.
Yeah,
the mind of Christ,
yeah.
And that means everything we think about, everything we believe, everything we do, everything we are, it has the mind of Christ in us, be it the Spirit.
Yeah. What a great gift and blessing that
is
for us to be able to be partakers.
It is. Don't ever take it for granted, because look at the world around you. They have not the mind of Christ. They are lost, and they are destined for the wrath of God, and that's why we want to be lights and brightly shine and proclaim the gospel in how we live, what we say, what we preach, who we associate with, and point the way for other people.
Amen. Praise God. What a precious thing we get to do.
Amen, sister.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for helping and sharing
like
all your thoughts on these. Yeah, me too. That's pretty awesome because we kind of help and feed off each other on it. So
have a great day, sisters.
All right. We love you all. Hold fast.
God be praised.